Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers consultant here in DCU Career Service. Joining me today is Catherine Norton, who is actually the recruitment lead for Aer Lingus. And she's here alongside her colleague, who is Alan Ross, who is the software engineering manager in Aer Lingus. So today we're going to be talking about an exciting technology graduate program that Aer Lingus now is advertising. So first of all, Catherine, you're very, very welcome to the show. And we'd maybe start off, and you might tell us a little bit about Aer Lingus itself, although it's very much a national brand and we're very, very familiar with it. But I think it's no harm having a check-in about Aer Lingus and maybe the up-to-date details on this technology graduate program.
Sure thing. So hi, Siobhan. Thank you very much for having us on today. We really appreciate the opportunity to chat to you today a little bit more about Aer Lingus, as you said, and about the technology graduate program that we have on offer as well. So as you rightly said, look, I mean, everybody is very familiar with Aer Lingus, this household name, both in Ireland and internationally. But just to give a little recap and some of the key facts about Aer Lingus. So we have approximately 4,500 employees, Siobhan, and that covers all of our operational areas like cabin crew, pilots, ground operations, but it also covers all of our support staff. So we have a really large support function that actually support the airline and make sure that everything is running along smoothly. And as part of the support function, we have our technology team. And our technology team is actually now part of IAG Tech. So Aer Lingus became part of IAG a number of years ago, and we are now part of IAG, which is the parent company of British Airways, obviously ourselves, and then Vueling and Iberia, which are two Spanish airlines. So the mission really of Aer Lingus is to be the leading value carrier across the North Atlantic, and we have a very interesting business model. I would say that we are a value carrier business model, and what that means is that we're somewhere in the middle of the low-cost, low-fares model and the full-service model. So we really take the elements, the best elements of both, really, and combine them to have a very unique offering in terms of our business model. We're also 85 years old this year, Siobhan.
Brilliant.
So I suppose just maybe to talk a little bit more then about our graduate programme. So we have a number of opportunities this year to take on a number of graduates into our technology team. And these opportunities span across a couple of different areas. So we have some Java software positions. We also have quality automation engineers, as well as UI software engineers and mobile application engineer as well, which Alan will go into a little bit more detail about. So just to talk as well about the application process. So at the moment, we are accepting applications. So if students want to go on to careers.aerlingus.com, they will be able to submit their application through our website. So once you apply, you receive an automated email just to acknowledge receipt of your application. And we are holding the campaign open until Sunday, the 14th of March. So we're taking CVs right up until that point. So what will happen then is that the week that the program closes, that will be week commencing the 15th of March, we will be sending out our online psychometric and ability tests to our applicants. And typically, applicants have about 3 days to complete the psychometrics. So,
and just on the psychometrics there, Catherine, what is the focus of the psychometrics?
Yeah, sure, Siobhan. So the focus of the psychometrics would be on verbal, numerical and logical reasoning. So, and we'd also have a kind of a personality questionnaire in there as well. So I would encourage students to allocate approximately 1 hour to the psychometrics. There's a number of different, you can practice a number of times before you actually start into the timed part of the assessment. So I would definitely encourage students to, I suppose, make sure that they are in a quiet room and uninterrupted, because they do require your full concentration. And as I said, there's a couple of different examples that you can get a practice before you actually hit the start button. So and from that point of view, it's good, you know. So once people have completed those, we will then shortlist based on the results of the psychometrics, but also on the CVs as well. So we will screen the CVs and we'll have a look at the psychometrics, and then we will shortlist our applicants based on that. So shortlisted applicants then will be invited then to attend an interview with us in Aer Lingus, and that will be the exact date to be confirmed, but it will be at the end of March. And how the day will be structured is that in the morning time, all of our shortlisted applicants will be invited to an information session, obviously run online. And that will be a really good opportunity for students to get to meet some of the tech team and to hear a little bit more about what life is actually like working in Aer Lingus Tech. So the team will discuss our tech stack and all the different technologies that we use, and they'll talk about, you know, day to day, what it's like to work here, I suppose. And it's a really good chance as well for students to ask questions, and as I said, to find out a little bit more. So once that session, that generally takes about an hour, and once that session is over, then students will have already gotten an individual time slot for their one-to-one interview for later in the day. So, I say one-to-one interview, but there'll actually be three of us on the interview panel. So typically that's two people from the technology team and one of us from HR. And really the purpose of the interview is to get to know the students a bit better, to find out more about their course, any work experience that they might have. So I'd encourage anybody who gets down to the interview stage to really have a good think about the projects that they've worked on, what technologies they like to use, and where they would see where they see themselves going from a technology career point of view once they finish up, and what areas of technology really interest them. And then following that, the week after then, we will be putting our offers out. So I suppose we do only have a limited number of places, Siobhan. We don't take on large numbers, but I suppose really for us taking on smaller numbers means that there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of support for the people that we eventually take on. Just to say as well, although this is a graduate program, if they actually are permanent positions. So I know some in previous years there would have been maybe fixed term contracts offered, but these are permanent roles, and we're really looking to bring some strong people onto our technology team and to develop them throughout their career, and we would hope that whoever we take on, you know, will progress really well within the technology team, and there are plenty of opportunities to do that.
Brilliant. So, I've just a couple of questions on that. Just wondering, if you don't mind back and tracking, because I didn't want to kind of interrupt your flow there.
No,
and
problem.
Just going back down to the earlier part of the application for, you said it was a CV. So is it a CV and cover letter? Is there any open questions as part of the application, or is it just CV and cover letter at that juncture?
CV and, I mean, cover letter is a nice to have. It's not essential. It's a nice to have. Certainly, if anybody wants to put a cover letter together, we will absolutely read it. But no, the application process online is actually very straightforward. You
Perfect.
Go onto our careers website, create your profile. There's just some standard questions there. I mean, obviously, we would ask that all applicants would have the right to live and work in the EU, and otherwise it's just a straightforward upload your CV. And the other thing as well, just to note, probably important, that is when the psychometrics are sent out via email, and it will be important that students would keep an eye on their email
in case it goes into spam or something. Good tip.
So the first point of contact from us will be via email, and it will be that the psychometrics will be sent out. So that's an important point to note.
Brilliant. And then just moving on there into the whole, I just want to remind our listeners there that we would have psychometric tests that is freely available to DCU students. So if they log into Loop and access it through the Career Service module, or log on to the DCU Careers site and go in via Identify My Skills, there's all of what, there might be a different type of test, but it's pretty much the same, the general intelligence test there. So it's really worthwhile everybody just logging on and doing something like that, because it kind of gives you an idea of the types of numerical reasoning tests that kind of Aer Lingus or any kind of psychometric test would be involved in. So it's really useful exercise. The other thing, obviously, we would obviously have our Career Service module on Loop, which is loads of resources around developing your CV and your cover letter and kind of preparing then, obviously, for interview. Now, are you planning for video interviews or face-to-face, or what are you planning for? Do you know at this stage, Catherine?
We do indeed. So, yeah, sure. So our info session in the morning and all interviews will all be via Microsoft Teams.
Okay, very good. Yeah, brilliant. So we have to get ready on that. And we've loads of resources as well about how to conduct a video interview and everything like that. So I'd really encourage, if you haven't been doing any video interviews, that we've really great resources on the Career Service module on Loop, folks. So really well worth your while tuning in there. So one of the things that you brought up there, Catherine, and we're hearing it a lot, and I think we just might tease it out, is in around that whole space of career motivation. Why are you motivated to apply to Aer Lingus? So just in around that, I suppose one of the challenges, I suppose, is from the outside looking in, you don't always know enough about an organisation to, I suppose, really tap into that nuance of that. So have you any tips around that, Catherine, about how students might, you know, maybe how they can dig a little bit more deeper to get a deeper understanding and connection for them in their career motivation there?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really good point that you've raised, Siobhan. And it is something that is important to us, and certainly for anybody who makes it down to the final interview stage. It is a question that we do ask, and you know, we're always keen to see, you know, why are you interested in Aer Lingus? And you know, what's your understanding of the role? And so the important thing that I'd say is, first of all, we definitely don't expect anybody who's applying to be an expert in aviation or in, you know, in Aer Lingus. Obviously, as you said, there is only so much that you can read, and a lot of the information actually, you know, will be given to students on the day of the final interviews in that information session. But what we do want to see is a curiosity, certainly, about the aviation industry would be really beneficial. And you know, somebody who has been onto our website, maybe been onto the website, had a look around, been onto the mobile app, and can maybe offer a little bit of insight just on what they think of the app, and I suppose coming at it from a technology point of view. Just to be able to demonstrate, I suppose, a curiosity about the aviation industry, and to have gone onto our website and just had a look, and maybe to have a sense of, you know, what routes do we fly to, knowing that we're part of the IAG group would be important as well. So just being able to demonstrate that you've done a bit of research, because I do think nowadays that It is easier now to be able to go on and kind of look things up. So I definitely think that, you know, in order to do well in the interview, you need to be able to demonstrate that you did go on and just have a look at some of those key facts. But certainly to bring that enthusiasm for the brand and the curiosity as well, they will be very important things. I suppose in a more general sense, things that we look for from a fit point of view, and I suppose these are things that would tie in very nicely to the culture in the Aer Lingus tech team, which I'm sure Alan will elaborate on a little bit more. But we look for people who like to have a sense of pride for their output, So that's definitely something that I would say applies across the board in Aer Lingus. I've never worked anywhere before, Siobhan, that people have such a great sense of pride in working for Aer Lingus, and somebody that could demonstrate that value to us, that they, you know, prioritise a sense of ownership and pride in their work. So that would be important then to, you know, to be able to talk, as I said earlier on, talking about projects that was completed. And be able to go into the detail of those projects would be important as well. You know, if you're working on, let's say the students were working on team projects, we would really want to understand, as part of that team project, what was your individual input? Like, what was your impact to the team project and what were you responsible for? So being very clear in terms of their preparation, being very clear on what their impact was, you know, what the outcome of the project were. Did they get any great feedback?
And sometimes negative feedback is good, because it generates more creativity as well sometimes, not always positive affirmative.
Absolutely.
That's useful.
Yeah, so not to be afraid to say, well, actually, do you know what? I wasn't delighted with that project, or I didn't get great feedback, but here's what I learned as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, yeah, really good point, Siobhan. It doesn't always have to be great feedback, because as we all know, you know, great learning can come from things not working out as much as it can from things working out. So not to be afraid to kind of give us those examples. The other things I would say are important in terms of fit and what we look for is that we would definitely be looking for people who obviously like solving problems and like challenges. It's the nature of the work within technology, but that would be really important. And just to say in a more general sense, they're a great team. The tech team they're a really good team. There's a really good work-life balance on the team as well. We're actually offering 80% remote working now, Siobhan, since the pandemic, we've all had to adapt.
Absolutely.
To working. And certainly it's something that we've really embraced, and it's actually working out very well for us. So 80% of all of our technology roles, well, 80% of our tech roles now are remote, with 20% being in the office. So that will most certainly apply to the graduate roles as well. So it's really the best of both worlds. So, you know, for 20% of the time, that could be a couple of days in 1 month where you'll come in, you'll meet with your team in the office and maybe do workshops, do whiteboard sessions. So it'll be very much to come in and actually kind of collaborate and have that social interaction with your colleagues. But the rest of the time will be remote. So obviously there's a lot of communication that goes on over Microsoft Teams and various different channels like that. But I have to say, it does seem to be working quite well. And again, Alan, could elaborate
speak
on that.
To that as well. I suppose the IT sector has possibly had a more of a remote culture to begin with anyway, not necessarily in particular organizations, but in general a lot of people, you know, have been kind of working in a hybrid space for a number of years, so it probably wasn't such a big shock to the system for the tech crew to work remotely.
Exactly. Yeah. So, they would have had an element of flexibility, I suppose, in the way they work.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, yeah.
Brilliant. I tell you what, I'm going to maybe go over to Alan now, Catherine, and I suppose just get more into, you know, maybe a little bit more about the day-to-day, about the role, you know, what a graduate software engineer might expect about working within Aer Lingus. But just to summarise, what would be your top tip or two or three tips, whatever you want to give for anyone? You've given us really good nuggets in there, so anyone listening carefully is going to get really, really good tips in there. But in general, you see an awful lot of applications coming in every day for a variety of roles, Catherine, and I suppose what would be your top tips in general?
Yeah, my top tips would be, number one, I would say to take the psychometric seriously and to not rush them. I know it can be tempting to kind of think, oh, I'll that's grand, I'll do those, no problem, I'll get that done now just before I have to do something else. I would strongly encourage to set aside your window of time. In fact, I'd even allow an hour and a half, maybe, to give yourself plenty of time to actually sit down, practice, and do them on a day where you're not under mass pressure and where you'd be uninterrupted. That's really important because they do require your full concentration. That's my first one.
Brilliant.
And the second one would be to put a little bit of effort into your CV in terms of highlighting the technology projects that you've worked on. That would be important.
Brilliant.
As well. And then number three then would be, if you're invited to interview, and it would be to do your little bit of research on Aer Lingus. Have a look at our website, have a look at our mobile app, and just to bring along that, bring along your passion and your interest and your motivation, because they're things that we really, really look for. And then obviously, look, I can't stress enough how much we value teamwork. It's a very collaborative environment. So anywhere that you can demonstrate your teamwork would be really important as well.
So moving on to yourself there, Alan, maybe we could actually start off by maybe taking a little bit time in around the technology department in Aer Lingus, and how does it support the Aer Lingus mission?
Sure, yeah. So essentially, when you think of an airline, you automatically think the website, making a flight, or booking a flight, going in, managing your flight, and then checking in. But there's so much more on top of that that we also have to support as a tech department. So Aer Lingus.com is a massive, massive part of what we support. It generates a huge amount of revenue for Aer Lingus. But on top of that, we would have the mobile app as well, which is native iOS, native Android as well, and a responsive web. So essentially, a responsive web is that you can go in on your iPad or your mobile device, not using the app, and the user experience is as it would be if you were using the app or using your desktop machine, which is something that we introduced last year. So that's really important. But if you think of your journey through an airport, so I'm hoping that the folks listening to the chat have experience of this, but you get into the airport and you go in, the first thing you see is probably the kiosks. So when you're trying to check in at your kiosks or dropping your bag off at the kiosks to be put on board our flights, that has to be serviced, and that's supported by EI Tech, so that we have to be able to make sure that the passengers enter in the correct information, all the spots and checks we have to do for passport control at that particular point in time, all automated. If you keep going through the airport, when you get to, say, for example, checking or boarding a flight, you scan your boarding card. Again, that's something that has to get validated against the systems that we have in EI Tech. So when you get on board the system, the catering, that we have to know that the folks who put the catering on the aircraft have to know how many people are going to be on the flight. They have to know if there's any special meal requests, if we have allergies, if we have anything along those lines on the flight. Again, our systems would supply all that information to the ground crew in Dublin Airport and other airports around the world. So yes, you automatically may go to Aer Lingus.com and the mobile app and so on and so forth, but there's a huge element of the operation itself that has to be supported, and supported on a 24/7 basis. So we would have a lot of teams that would support out of office hours, but the systems that we build and the systems we create really need to be robust and stable enough to support that operation. And you think of one of the things that we would ask our guests is the score, how they score Aer Lingus and how they rate Aer Lingus. So one of the biggest attractors in that is if a flight is delayed or if it can't take off in time. And our systems are crucial to those flights being able to take off in time. So it's really a poor reflection or a bad look in Aer Lingus if the flights are delayed or if it's due to a system fault or something that we have built that isn't up to standard, essentially. So yeah, it really is a massive area that we have to support.
And then the tech department, obviously, a lot of liaison then, like obviously with Dublin Airport itself, other airports, other partner airlines and things like
that.
So there's a lot of,
absolutely,
are your systems compatible with theirs and talk to one another? All this
exactly.
A lot of these things have to happen too.
It's pretty amazing, actually. There's a lot of industry standards in the airline industry for what would you say is the common contracts between airlines. So
brilliant.
The data within your airline, we would have something called a passenger naming reference, which is when you get your booking reference, on aerlingus.com, that reference would contain all their data of that flight, your outbound, your inbound, the number of passengers on board, bags, you know, your seat, all that kind of stuff. But there's a standard, contract between airlines that you can put that data in, and that data can be used for example, if your first leg of your flight is with Aer Lingus and the second leg of your flight is with British Airways or with another airline, that we can use that information to essentially check you in on their system. And that allows that you don't have to take your bag off if you're going from Dublin to Heathrow and onwards to Dubai or something like that. You don't have to get your bag in Heathrow. It's checked right the way through. And those systems and those common contracts are there to be used for that particular reason. And it's funny, I joined Aer Lingus around 5 years ago, and I would have had a basic understanding, just like
yeah, the user experience, I suppose. Yeah,
like seeing it from the outside in. And when you actually get into it and you look at everything that goes on under the hood and behind the scenes and how the operation of an airline works, it's massive. It takes an enormous amount of coordination. It's an amazing industry to work in. You know, you really do get to see what happens and how many systems are needed to get you from your flight in Dublin to your holiday destination in Malaga or something like that. It's quite incredible. You know?
So if you're a person that likes, you know, the logistics, the movement of goods and people, who loves the mental gymnastics, would that be, you know, the mental gymnastics of following through? Well, if I do this and then I follow, that's going to cause another ripple, you know, and it's going to cause a positive one or a negative one.
Absolutely. You know, especially like what people see is to see aerlingus.com and to see the mobile app, to see what's in front of them on the user interface. Mm-hmm. They very rarely see what's going on behind the scenes and how, you know, you the amount of systems that you need to communicate with to see, you know, what seats are free, or can I book this seat, or it's this particular route that I'm flying and that means you can have this particular bag or this particular bag, or if you're flying transatlantic to the US, I can upgrade this meal, or I can buy car parking and all the systems. Like all those systems are, like car parking would be integration, like from right with the DAA. Have, if you're flying to London, you have integrations with the Heathrow Express or the other systems on the other side of your journey. So all of those systems come together and aggregated in one is a lot. So you would get put on feature enablement or new features that we want to add to aerlingus.com and realize that you could be in Aer Lingus for 5 or 6 years and not have gone into this area before, and it opens up a whole new area of integration and APIs that you need to go out to Allianz or insurers or anything along those lines.
Travel has gone highly individual, of course, now. Like you talk about all the things, the add-ons, you know, the car parking, the insurance, everything that, you know, the upgrade on your meal or the type of meal you want, you know, and connecting into all of that. And yet at the same time, then you talk about those systems, interconnecting systems, having those commonalities. So it's a real contracting expansion kind of yin and yang approach to travel, you know.
And even that, you know, airlines are going to go into it even further in relation to, you know, not all travellers are the same. So you have your business traveller who would want a particular set of merchandise and offer to them, whereas your family might want another particular set of merchandise. And so what might be important to a business traveller is not important to the family. So it's looking at potentially what can we do from a merchandising point of view to focus on. We know that Joe or Jane blogs as a business traveler. Okay, let's populate their screens with stuff that's relevant to them. We know that these guys are a family. Let's populate with what's relevant to those. So there's a huge amount that can be done in that area, and all of these systems then are brought essentially together to help that journey through aerlingus.com or the mobile app. Yeah.
It strikes me there's a lot of creativity and a storyboarding there. So do you work very closely with other departments then in Aer Lingus, like marketing or people on strategic end of things, you know? And obviously, if you work in the tech, that must be exciting to you then as well.
Oh, very much so. And obviously, we've had to adapt in the last year in relation to having to work remote and how we do those sessions in a remote fashion. I can touch on that later on if you want. But, Yes, what we've tried to do in the last 18 months is we've moved the way we build software away from a traditional approach. The guys in the listen to the chat will probably know the waterfall model, which is very much staged. You know, stage one, do this, two, three, four, the whole way up, and there's various handoffs between the teams. And what we've tried to do is we've tried to put all the necessary skill sets together inside one team to look after a core area of responsibility and work in that area almost exclusively. So essentially, if you might own, a team might own the flight search section of AerLingus.com. So you go in, you type, I want to fly from Dublin to Orlando, and you know the systems that operate to do that. But they will work with the business area to look after that as well. So the business area will be coming up with, right, well, how do we make money in this particular area? What's the feedback from our guests? What issues have we had in this area? How do we want to improve it? And the idea is that we bring all that into one team so that they're constantly talking to each other and constantly trying to work out the best way forward for that particular section that they own. So very much close collaboration with the business areas, with the guys who design the user interface, to the guys that build the user interface, and the guys that build the back-end systems behind that. So yeah, it's very much moving towards that very close collaboration with other business areas in Aer Lingus.
So you might go down through the technology graduate program and maybe speak to more the technical end of what you're seeking in around the languages, and I suppose the approach. You mentioned the waterfall method, but you know what are you talking about? You know, I mean, obviously students can, obviously everyone will have different experiences and they can bring their story to board they don't have to have all of this before they arrive. You're just curious about where they are right now, and you can bridge the gap with them.
So the idea is that we have, at the minute, we have four graduate roles. So we have a back-end engineer, which would be a Java software engineer, so someone who's interested in Java as their core language. And we would have a UI software engineer, and the UI software engineer, we use Angular is the technology that we use within Aer Lingus. And we have a mobile application engineer, and that's as I said, we on the mobile side we use iOS and which is Objective-C, and also the newer modules and newer technology that we're building in iOS, actually built with Swift, and obviously the Android language. And we also have an automation engineer, and we have several automation frameworks that we use within Aer Lingus. What the idea would be that, as I mentioned earlier, we have many teams that we've spun up in the last 18 months. We have over 8 what we call product teams. So they're agile teams, and the graduate would be, depending on obviously the skill set that they're looking to gain more experience in, the area that they want and the area that they applied for, they would be put into one of those product teams to work within that team to build out that core functionality that's in that team. So that would be the areas that we'd be, or the way someone would come into Aer Lingus. Now, I did mention some of the technologies there. So for the Java engineer, we are looking at moving a lot of our, we have some kits split between the cloud, which we use Amazon Web Services for, and also on-prem, which would be your more traditional data centers. So what we're trying to do is move a lot of that, a lot of the technology that we have deployed to our data center, we're moving that up into the cloud, into Amazon. So all of the guys would get experience using Amazon Web Services. What we tried to do in the last number of years is where we moved into AWS first. We didn't really use it for, we almost used it just as a replica of an on-prem data center. But now we've moved to a place where we're actually harnessing it and using it for what it's good for, and using all the native tech that's available to us there. For the UI engineer, we're looking at migrating our current UI to a later version of Angular and upgrading that. So there's a huge amount of work in that field. And the mobile engineer or grad would be put on to one of the mobile squads, where like the Java Pert, they would be expected to, I guess, contribute to the core mobile team, serving business for new features that they want to add on and moving along the mobile product. And then obviously the engineer, the automation engineer would fit into one of the teams where they would help build out the automation framework and help the guys one, test the code and work very closely with the developers and the engineers to make sure our pipelines are as automated and as seamless as possible. So that's kind of a brief on the four roles and where they'll fit into.
Now, Catherine, go ahead.
Sorry. So we would have had, up until January last year, we would have had more than two separate teams, but two separate areas. We would have had a development team, so a software development team, and then we would have had a quality team, and they were split in two. And we would have had a lot of problems with when the developers would create code and they would, not throw it over the fence, but essentially there would be a handoff between the developer and the automation engineer. And we'd lose a lot of time there and to be back and forth. So what we've tried to do is we've merged the two teams into one. So we're software engineering now. We really don't distinguish between someone who's automation, someone who's a developer or an engineer. That's what we're moving towards. And they would be put into a team, but where a developer in team traditionally would have just written code and maybe did some tests, and we're really trying to make people T-shaped is the word, which is essentially, people taking up tasks that may not necessarily be natural to them, that kind of way. So we want someone with an automation background contributing to code. We want someone with a development background contributing to automation.
So you're going for depth and breadth.
Exactly. We're really trying to upskill the people into.
Makes it more interesting, I'm sure, as well.
Absolutely.
It's hard to be doing a component of something and not seeing and not really understanding the bigger picture or the fuller picture or seeing how did it end up or,
Yeah, and it's funny the way you say how did it end up, because one of the great things about working for Aer Lingus, and one of the things I really like about working for Aer Lingus is probably one of the best known brands in Ireland. It's very well known in America. Your work, your family, everyone knows Aer Lingus. Your work on aerlingus.com or on the mobile app.
It's visual.
You can actually point out.
I did that bit.
You know what I mean? So that's one thing about Aer Lingus that I really like, is that it's so well known and so many people use Aer Lingus that you will get questions from your family.
And listen, I asked Catherine this already, and we might just finish up on this then. What would be your top tips now for anyone applying? Now, in fairness to Catherine, she gave us things around the psychometric tests and putting your projects down on your CV, and gave us really good stuff. But maybe from more the technical end of things, you might speak to, how to present that your technical skills at interview and on the CV.
Yeah, and listen, Siobhan, to me, the technical skills are obviously very important, and during the interview, so someone would be asked, the technical skills that would fit the role that we're looking for. But what's very important as well is someone's personality too, and fit for the team. So, we're really trying, as I mentioned earlier, that kind of cross learning, I suppose, of someone who wants to be a specific back-end Java engineer, but we really want people to take up the automation side as well. So very much being able to demonstrate a willingness to learn, to be proactive on a team, to contribute to a team, to, be able to give an opinion, defend an opinion, but work around with someone who has a different opinion to you, that kind of way. So it's really being able to work with people and coming towards a logical conclusion, and very much on the proactive within the team. I remember when I first started in software development, it was very much, these are your tasks, go do them and don't come back to me until they're done. Where now it's very much different. It's very much, right, what can I do on this team to contribute to the ultimate goal of the team? How can I help the team deliver? How can I help realize that business value to the items that we're working on? So it's very much someone who's really willing to stand up and learn and work with the guys that are there. So that I hope that answers your question.
Oh no, it does, because we talk about collaboration, but you know, that's what it means on a practical level. You need to get down into the trenches with everyone to work on a particular project, see it through, problem solve, and really enjoy it and be motivated. You know, that would kind of float your boat, for want of a better word, you know, or phrase. You know,
it's not going to be the case of day one, here's the code for everything.com, go work it out. You know, you need to buddy it up with people. You know, we will, on the team, you know, everyone will work together and help you along. It's not that you have to understand absolutely everything when you come in, because that's let's be realistic, that's just not going to happen. So it's definitely being able to learn and ask questions, and don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, asking questions is so important all the time.
Brilliant. Listen, thank you so much for that today. I really, really appreciate it. And I hope I'll see some DCU grads up in Aer Lingus shortly.
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. Listen, thank you so much. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Siobhan. Appreciate your time. All the best. Bye.
Listen, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast show. I think you've given great insights in and around the role itself. Really great application tips. So really go back in through that episode, folks, and dig out the excellent tips, particularly around the psychometric test. I thought was excellent advice there for any type of psychometric test you might ever have to take in your life. Great advice there. So thank you so much for coming on the line with us today, Catherine.
Thanks, Siobhan. Thanks very much for having us.